devotees, the Vishnu Rudras, Anuradhya detached himself from the material conception of life with determination. Thus freed from all material attraction, he immediately started for Haridwar. The word Mukta Savanu Bandhanaha indicates that after this incident, Anuradhya, not caring for his wife and children, went straight to Haridwar for further advancement in his spiritual life. Our Krishna consciousness movement now has centers in Vrindavan and Navadvipa, so that those who want to live a retired life, whether they be devotees or not, can go there and with determination give up the bodily concept of life. One is welcome to live in those holy places for the rest of his life in order to achieve the highest success by the very simple method of chanting the holy name of the Lord and taking prasad. Thus one may return home, back to Godhead. Now, we do not have a center in Haridwar, but Vrindavan and Srinarayanapura are better for devotees than any other places. The Chaitanya Chandradaya temple offers one a good opportunity to associate with devotees. Let us all take advantage of this opportunity. Thus, and especially the purport, has a very interesting message. A message which is often overlooked, both in our material society and in our ISKCON society, which tries to become a spiritual society. The message here is a message of absorption. Some of the key words I will translate myself into German. Absorption heißt Vertiefung, Versenkung, innere Absorption. The whole difference between material and spiritual life is a difference of absorption of the mind, you could say. The connection with the spiritual movement, like the Hare Krishna movement, does not guarantee an immediate absorption in the mind. In other words, it's very well possible that there can be many materialists in the Hare Krishna movement. I would like to say this in German. Der Beitritt in eine spirituelle Bewegung garantiert für sich noch nicht die volle Absorbierung des Geistes. Es kann also sein, dass in einer spirituellen Bewegung viele Materialisten gegenwärtig sind. The absorption of the mind is not really an, let me say, institutional achievement. The absorption of the mind always is a private achievement. Die Versenkung des Geistes ist also nicht die Errungenschaft, die eine Institution für sich allein, sondern muss immer vom Individuum selber als eine Art private Errungenschaft, aber auch Herausforderung angesehen werden. This point comes out very clearly when Prabhupada says that he has opened up centers at the holy places, where he seems to invite everyone freely to have association with the devotees and to have only a simple program that is chant Hare Krishna. You will, if you try to chant the whole day, you will soon find out that you cannot chant only with your lips. If you want to chant the whole day and not develop a crisis like we have discussed with some of you, then you have to learn the art of absorbing your mind in the holy name of Krishna. If your mind is not absorbed and you try to chant the whole day, it becomes the hardest torture you have ever experienced in your life so far. And I have seen a few members of the Hare Krishna movement spending it out in my chamber retreats. Hare Krishna. I have now been invited to give a chamber retreat to the leaders of the North American Yatra, and they will never forget this chamber retreat tonight. They will promise them, because they will know either they absorb themselves in the holy name or they are lost. You are also invited to the chamber retreat to make this experience. To absorb the mind is not always very easy. To absorb the mind in Krishna is only possible for an individual who has not only theoretically accepted but understood in all practice that spiritual life is more important than material life. Only someone who has accepted and understood that he is a spiritual soul and his spiritual life is so much more necessary than the few seconds of this material life, he can absorb his mind in Krishna. Someone who identifies with the body and with the mind and has no practical realization that he is soul will always be absorbed in bodily and material affairs. It's called Dehatma Buddhi, when the buddhi or the intelligence is absorbed in the body. Patanjali describes what happens at that moment. The first thing is an asmita, or his ego, comes up. Raga develops, attachment, and after ego and attachment, things happen like like hatred towards material sense objects, and finally abhinivesha, that is deep absorption in material life. See, abhinivesha, this is when the intelligence and the consciousness becomes totally active on the bodily and on the mental platform. So in Krishna consciousness, or in our Krishna conscious sadhana, we try to bring the mind and the attention away from the material platform, that is the mental and physical platform, and safely place it in the on the spiritual platform. At such a moment in time, when this is accomplished, the devotee feels no longer so disturbed with what happens on the mental and on the physical platform. He feels safe and protected on the spiritual platform. He feels very close to Krishna. He feels that Krishna is in control, and he feels grateful and happy to be in the Lord's presence. I have come from Jagannath Puri, and I saw a devotee who was totally absorbed on the spiritual platform. It's a picture I never forget. It's one of my treasures which I took home from the Ratha Yatra festival. First of all, the Ratha Yatra festival is a festival which you have to visit in Puri. Our festival in Zurich yesterday was very, very nice also, and I think you could see how for the first time in these 3 years Indra could control his ecstasy, his feelings of love, and wait for the end of the festival. Usually in the last 3 years he already cried in ecstatic tears of love of Godhead right at the beginning, and he almost swept all the insincere souls away from the festival. Really a true insider festival of a few brahmacharis who are determined and so on, a few grihastha couples who are very determined for bhakti. But yesterday he gave all of us the shots and it was very nice. So anyways, the Puri festival is really spectacular because there you really feel the presence of Krishna like anything. Like when Lord Jagannath comes out of the temple, as he is carried by his dear servants, it's just such a scene. Now I'm sure that many of you have seen this scene maybe on the TV, a screen or pictures. But when he really comes out of the temple, you have to be there to feel the ecstasy. You know God has come now. There is no doubt in anyone's mind. And the whole place shouts, and there are gongs. You really, the crown is moving like a dancing wheel of feathers of a peacock, and the Lord seems to look at everyone of his devotees, because all devotees report that they had a special exchange with Lord Jagannath at that time. Now this time when Jagannath came late, I hear he didn't come as late as other years. We were informed he would come out at 6 o'clock, so we said yes, we will be there at 7 o'clock because Indian Vector was also there. So we were there at 7 o'clock and he didn't come out at 9 o'clock. And he didn't come out at 11 o'clock. By that time, people had to transport many poor people away from the place who were totally dehydrated. They are very poor and very ecstatic, so they just fell down on the floor. They had to be transported and be cared for medically. It was really hot, and it was getting hotter. So by 11 o'clock, I went to the palace and said, "When is the Lord coming?" The palace smiled at me. "Only Jagannath knows." I became very happy when I heard this answer, because I knew you can't push God. You may be able to push many people. You may try to push your guru, but you cannot push God. It's not possible. So I was very happy. This was seen to me last time, and drank 2 liters of water, waiting patiently. Now, then it became 11 o'clock. No, Jagannath. 11:30. Nothing only people fainting. Then finally the noise came. Then at 12:30 he entered the place. And the moment Lord Jagannath entered, everything changed. The first thing which we noticed is that a very cool breeze came. The second thing, and here a few devotees fainted, was the fragrance of Malati flower came. That's the fragrance of Braj. Krishna's dressed with Malati flower, the garments of Malati flowers. His shoes are sometimes shoes of Malati flowers, ankle bells. And this is a typical Krishna fragrance. Finally. And then the Lord just overwhelmed all of us with his sweetness so that no one could take his eyes away from Lord Jagannath. Now there were some welfare workers. These welfare workers were spraying water into the face of the people. And they had one of these things with a pump and the canisters, plastic canisters, and especially those who were already showing signs of getting too hot. They would spray you. And then there are people who ran up around with fans to do Vaishnava seva. Now, there was one devotee, this is now the point, now we have to concentrate on the point. We only gave you the introduction to the point now, but an introduction is not as important as a point, as you well know. So, this devotee was standing there offering his prayers to Lord Jagannath. At this moment, a welfare worker came to fan him. He started to fan the devotee. Now, someone had done this to me also, and I felt very relieved. This devotee, when he was fed, he became so disturbed. I've never seen someone so entirely disturbed. He was growing morbid. He said, "Me." The worker was, he was standing in the sun without an umbrella and nothing. And he was clearly getting up. Hot, and he continued, maybe some derangement of the mind is there. Finally, the devotee just snapped the fan and said, "Jagannath!" And then, like this, with the fan. And the moment I saw this, I understood what is Krishna consciousness. The secret of Krishna consciousness is in this, taking the fan out of the hand of the mundane welfare worker and fanning the Lord. In this movement, you can see the whole secret of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is about the pleasure of the Lord. That's the whole point of it. And only someone who has understood that he is part of the Lord. This is his identity. And he's meant to feel pleasure for the Lord in order to live his real life, spiritual life, will be able to understand the secret. This secret is not a secret which you can understand only by theory. This secret can be understood by samanda, by feeling a relationship to Krishna. It's not a philosophical concept. In other words, only by philosophy you will, in previous ages maybe, you could understand the first part, I am not the body. I don't believe anyone in Kali Yuga can fully understand how he's not the body of the mind just by philosophy. You need to also have a sadhana of understanding this, like meditation and the realization of your spirituality. But for devotees, we need to understand something about someone, our relationship with Krishna. Then we can snatch the fan from the bird and use it to give pleasure for the Lord. Now, most of the devotees in the Hare Krishna movement are still on the platform which I was on. They like to be fanned. Most of them come because they want to be free from material misery. And yes, this is also possible to join a spiritual movement and to have material desires in your mind, but you will never get satisfaction and transcendental happiness when you pursue this path. You only will be able to enter your real life when you learn to give pleasure to the Lord. And that devotee taught me on Anuradhaya today this very, very nice lesson. Now, when we hear such a point, we have two responses. Our soul likes it, our body and mind hates it. And since we are not yet fully on the spiritual platform, therefore these two voices are in us, a material and a spiritual voice. To increase our spirituality, it is therefore advised in all the sastras that we learn to engage our mind with the spiritual subject. Amanmana bhavamat bhakto majajimam namaskuru, says Lord Krishna. We should engage our mind in Krishna's service. Now what this means is explained. It starts with remembering Krishna occasionally, and then as the devotee remembers Krishna more and more, he will come to a stage where it's called Rupanusmriti, his memory. And this is compared to be like a constant flow of sweet honey which never interrupts. And which is always there. So, this remembrance of Lord Krishna comes when we hear more about Krishna, or it comes also when we hear about the devotees of Lord Krishna who were successful in absorbing their minds in Krishna. And I want to tell you today of one devotee, King Kula Shikar, who will help us on our own path to remember Krishna and not forget him. Thank you. King Gokula Shikhar is a very, very extraordinary king. When you are in South India, you see in many temples of the sun, on the threshold of the temple, an engravement that is a person engraved in the granite step of the temple, and that's Kulashika. Prabhupada, myself, and Kulahari, and family of Nimakrishna, we remember when we went in the Ranganath temple, there was this you saw the back of the King Kulashika. It's like this. He's engraved in the the stadium that you cross over to go into the temple. Schwelle, sagt man in Deutsch. Schwelle. You know the English word? The threshold of the temple. Because he wants the dust of Sadhu Sangena. He wants the association of devotees so much. He wants their blessings. Even when he is already when he has left his body, he will stay there in the form of stone, Kulashika, all the dust. Even if you would go there now, your protest, he wants on his head. That is how humble he is and how much he wants the association of the body. Now, King Kulashika was not always like this. And it's nice to go a little bit in his history, so that we also develop a sense of urgency, a sense of, oh, it's important for me to develop my Krishna consciousness and become absorbed. In South India, there used to be three kingdoms. One is the Kola dynasty, the Pandya dynasty, and the Chera dynasty, whose seat was in Trivandrum. The kings of all these three kingdoms did never think themselves to be the rulers of their countries, but they always thought themselves to be only representatives of the deities, and every day they would go to their respective deities and report what had happened in the kingdom and also a request for advices. In this dynasty of the Cheru dynasty, which was in Trivandrum, there was one big king. His name was Tivravrata. He worshipped the deity Ananta Padma Nava and was very, very happy. He had only one great problem. He had no son. And he felt, without a son, my life is useless. Why did he think like this? He thought, because then I have to stay king till the end of my life. I want a son whom I can give my kingdom so that I can worship Krishna fully. That was his motive in having a son. So he prays to Ananda Padmanabha very, very strongly. And after many, many tapasyas on this side, many, many prayers, I should say, not tapasyas, finally, Nkula Shekhar came to him, who was a plenary portion of the Kaustubha Mani of the Lord. You know what is Kaustubha Mani? This jewel which Lord Narayana carries over his heart. King Nkula Shekhar became one of the Alvas, whose writings are non-different from the Vedic scriptures. Alva means one who's drowning in an ecstatic ocean of love of God. And Tibravrata, King Tibravrata, trained his son so that he could do all his Hindi jobs. He was trained in warfare, in taxation, in arranging the society so that everyone would be able to find his whole happiness of life. And after he was fully trained, he was made the king, and his father, Tibhavrata, retired into the forest to really only absorb his mind in Krishna. Or in the Persian, yes, Narayan, Krishna. Now, King Nkula Shekhar was such a good ruler that all the three kingdoms of South India merged together and accepted him as a king. He was so expert. He was considered to be a father to his citizens. He would only look at a problem and already know the answer. He was so extremely strong that practically no foe or enemy dared to raise his opponency. In other words, there was no need of war after some time. But he was so engaged in rulership that he compromised his spiritual life. I sometimes feel also that when we are engaged in spreading Krishna consciousness or keeping our Krishna conscious institution somehow alive, we may sometimes neglect our spiritual practices. Our rounds may not be the way they should be. We may not find time to think of Krishna, and we may feel how the mode of passion enters a little bit, how we may be, that means we become very much concerned of position, and we may even become afraid that we lose our positions. We become on a material platform which is more rajasic, and where there are again the material emotions very much present.
So whenever
Krishna sees that a devotee, a dear devotee of his, falls a little into illusion, he usually makes an arrangement so that he is awakened. Udhava, do you know what this arrangement? Not yet? Oh. I'm surprised. Usually when our Krishna consciousness goes a little bit down, then somehow Krishna, he does something, and this is the best way our translator came in the right word. Krishna does something. You can only say it as something, you know, because it is often so genius. And often you don't even know that something happened. It's just something. Something happened. And you think, oh my God, I'm really, I forgot you. And I need to do something. Check it out. So Krishna does something. Thank you, Ramana, that you will say this. I would have had to look for 1 hour to find this word. In this case, what he did is the Lord sent one of his very, very dear devotees, Vishvakshena. He's the arranger of in the Vaikuntha word. A little bit like Vrinda Devi is the for the Moshuai in Krishna consciousness, and who are in the yes, who believe in Krishna and Vrindavan, is Vrinda Devi. So the, those Vaikuntha bird is Vishvakshena, who's the arranger. So he came and he said, he came as a sadhu. Kulashika heard his secretary say, there's a sadhu before the door. Okay, said Kulashika, my speaking hours are not there at the moment. I've given my audience, he can come tomorrow. Then the secretary said to the sadhu, yeah, you can come tomorrow. Tell your king, either I come now or I will never come. Are you sure you want to say this to the king? Don't ask. Be quick. Salary power. Secretary knew it. He ran. There's a Saru with so much power. He just ordered me and he ordered you. He said, you have to receive him now or you will never see him. I think I know what it's about. And they brought Vishakshena inside, who was glowing with Vaishnava and Vaishnava. Why have you become so arrogant that you don't care to hear the sadhus? Kulashika, or you know. It's very difficult to rule, and your head is bedecked with a crown, and you ride on an elephant. Have you therefore forget who's the real king? Do you think you are? Thank you very much, Sadhu Maharaj. You have awakened me. It took only so much, you know, for a good devotee who forgets, he only needs to hear one word. The penny is right there again. Another devotee who is not so eager, or maybe not, has not yet reached a level that he can say that he has reached a level of spiritual life. He might need the Himalayan mountains to fall on his head before he notices something. But good morning, one word, it's all there. The sadhu said, I have been sent by the Lord. You will never see me again. I wish you all the best. And he disappeared, he was never seen again. The Lord Narayan had just sent the sadhu to speak a few words to bring up Kulashika. Kulashika immediately had a meeting with all his ministers. He said, I lost my spiritual life for ruling these leaders. And Lion says, I don't care for this, I will go to Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka. Just now I'm going, find another king. I will dedicate my life in the service of Sri Lanka. I will sweep the floor. That is my seva. He was going. So his ministers said, they knew they would never ever find such a powerful king again. All what they had established as servants of the king, that is a peaceful, huge empire, would break into pieces if this king would go and leave his rulership. So they said, let us have Sri Lanka in your right here. Let us invite the sadhus. You can associate with the sadhus. In Shastras it is said, wherever the sadhus are, there the holy places are. Please say yes, okay? Only when your son is of age, the right age, then only you may go. Then they plead with him, please consider this your service for the Lord. In the scriptures, righteous kings who were great devotees of the Lord are always mentioned. It is not opposed to each other. Please save our kingdom. Please remain with us. We will arrange your life in such a way that you will not have to rule so much. We will do most of it. You just stay. Please stay. And they lovingly applauded. And Kunal Shikhar was agreeing with his ministers. But he insisted that Sadhus would be there. So the sadhus were called to keep him, and he heard every day shastras from them. He heard, for instance, the Ramayana. Now when King Kulashikar heard the Ramayana, something happened to him, which happens to devotees who are absorbed in the content of the scripture. He saw the scenes of the Ramayana right before his eyes. Do you know an example of seeing the scriptures from Chaitanya Charitamrita? Prabhati? Yes, very nice, Prabhati. This Brahmana who read the Bhagavad Gita in the temple compound of Sri Rangam, he read the Gita and he would, even though he read with horns, his Sanskrit was not so good, but he saw the Lord on the chariot speaking to Arjuna. This was because he was totally absorbed. As you read the scriptures, it is recommended that you totally go into the text, and then naturally when you read the text you see how the text becomes alive. That's what happens to any person who reads, for instance, a novel. They see the contents of the novel in all pictures, and they always say the novel is better than the movie. Why do they say this? Because everyone likes himself the most, and they see their own movie when they read the novel. Therefore, they give their own movie the first prize. So, in other words, it's something which also which happens to everyone. It's not that this is necessarily something which only happens at the very advanced stages of Krishna consciousness. Full absorption, Dhruva Anusmriti, and these high levels of memory, they are reserved to very high levels of devotional life. But this occasional memory called smaran is also available to us. So so Kula Shikhar heard this one scene, which is very good. He heard how Ram, Lakshman and Sita then vanished to the forest of Panchavati. And he heard how the sister of Rama, Sohanak, came to this forest, saw the beautiful form of Lord Ram, and desired him to be her husband. Kulashika heard how Ram said no and proposed Lakshman. And he heard also how Lakshman politely declined. Then he heard how Supanat was enraged and attacked Sita, thinking that, Sita, you are in between me and Rama. And then Ram, and then Kulashika heard how Ram wanted Lakshman to stop the attack of Supanak, who wanted to kill Sita, and cut her nose off. There's a place in India, a holy place, it's called Nasik, the nose of Supanak. Supanak fell. It's a pilgrim place. You can go to this, to the place of the nose. Hare Krishna. So Kula Shikhar heard of this and he said, and continue reading. Okay. Then Sohanak went to the outpost of Ravana's army, informed the wicked Kara and Dushasan, and said, revenge. And Kara and the demon, they marched with 14,000 soldiers towards Lakshman and Sita, who were guided by Ram. Kula Shikhar became totally excited. And well, then Ram ordered Lakshman to go with Sita into a cave, and he said, Lakshman, guard the entry of the cave. And then Ram stopped and prepared himself to fight with the 14,000 demons. Ram! Lakshman! I am coming to your aid! Kula Shikhar jumped up, saying this. He ran to his generals. Generals! Get the army ready! We will march towards Panchavati, and we will help Lord Ram to slaughter the demons. The generals thought they didn't hear properly. This was many millions of years ago when this happened. What was in the Ramayana? But Kula Shikhar saw them hesitating. You are cowards. If you don't come with me, I'll march alone. No, we are not cowards. Because mobilize the army then. They had to run, they had to mobilize the army, and a huge army was riding behind Kuroshika. We are coming, Ram! We are coming, Ram! The general thought, this is a serious problem, you know. The whole army is, to move an army, you have to orchestrate, you have to build roads, you have to, it's a huge thing, you know, it's not a small thing, not so much organization, so much money, so much food, so much. it's an entanglement. So the minister said, okay, what to do? Yeah, after you know, it's 1,000 miles which they were riding. So after some time they got the bits, they sent the super fast riders ahead, they turned, they rode then towards Kulashika and they said, King, we have good news. What are the news? Ram has single-handedly managed all the 14,000 soldiers. I don't believe you. And Rama single-handedly killed all the 14,000 soldiers. He expanded himself into 14,000 forms. And what the demon saw was an angry Rama shooting arrows like fire. Rama Chandra ki jay, said Kulashika, and went back. The ministers said to Rama, whenever you read to King Kulashika, from this day on, read only any news and learn the intense things. Now, King is very absorbed. this was done, and King Kulashika was very happy. He arranged his kingdom that on every one of the 365 days, there was a festival of singing and dancing. There was a kingdom of with many processions of great spiritual happiness. Now one day, the Brahmana who read Ramayana, here is that very kind of interesting for us. He was absent. He had, I forgot what it was, either he had to do something urgently, some relative, some death in the family or something, or he was ill, I do not know, but he told his son to read the Ramayana. He forgot to tell him that he should only tell him happy news, read happy news in the Ramayana. So the son started to continue where his father left off, and he didn't know the policy, so he landed right into this passage where Ravan abducted Sita. What said Kulashika? Listen, and then Ravan kidnapped her. She was defenseless. Jatayu came to her help. But Sita told him, don't fight with Ravana, he will kill you. But Jatayu thought, better I die in service than wait in safety. So he said, Sita said, you just tell Ravana that it was Ravana who has brought me to Lanka. Jatayu had his motto, better I die in service and faith and safety. He attacked Ravan, and Ravan cut his wings. And he was lying in pools of blood when Ram found him. I can't believe what I hear. Yes. So then the Brahmana continued to read. And he finally arrived where Ravan mobilized an army of monkeys and marched towards Lanka. I'm coming, Ram! Said King Kulashika. Immediately he told his generals, get the army ready. We are marching against Ravan, the demon, and we will teach him that no one can take the Sita of our Rama away. We are going. Don't wait. He said it so strongly that this time the generals don't dare to even hesitate. They just got the army ready. We don't care. He wants to go. Let us go. And they all ran. The big armor. Kulashika ordered, we will not even wait for resting and eating. We are so big. He was in full armor that his battle was. It was not so far because there was a little sound. Finally, he came to the ocean. He jumped off his horse and without thinking anything about his safety, he was dressed in armor. He ran into the water. I'm coming, Ram, I'm coming with his sword. Then he was kneading his sword. He was wasted. I'm coming. She Rama Chandra Ki Jai. He was going like this. He was going breast deep. I'm coming. He was going neck deep. Still, he didn't stop. He was going head deep. Finally, they only saw the sludge. And some bubbles. Coming. He was starting to feel the ecstasy all the soon. Now I want to ask you a question. What do you think will go on in the heart of the Lord when he sees a devotee so absorbed? Will Lord Ram let Kulashika die? What is your He is said in the Bhagavad Gita, someone who is fully surrendered to him, he will protect him also against some saltwater ocean. That is included. That is automatically included. So, a boat came on the ocean. A ram was in the boat. Lakshman was in the boat. Sita was there. Hanumanji. The boat came close to where Kulashika was. Then Ram went to Kulashika, took him in his arms. He had lost his consciousness already. No one can breathe in the ocean. He's lost and brought him on the boat. And on the boat he brought him to the shore. He placed him on the shore. And he went away. The Emperor of Allah protects his devotees who are absorbed in him, who have given their mind to him, who feel so close to him.
So with his own hands he lifted him. Now when King Kulashika was back in his kingdom, the minister had an Easter Roshi. They said the solution to the problem is more serious than the problem. We had invited sadhus to keep our kingdom in the king, to keep our king in the kingdom. But now, because of the sadhus who tell about the scriptures, our king has almost killed himself. Because of the sadhus, he mobilizes all this army, the army all the time. We have to somehow get the sadhus out. So they devised a plan. And Kurashika, you must know, had one deity. And this deity was personally served by the Lord, who every day, by the king, every day, king Kurashika went to puja to this deity. And he used many precious jewels. And he used one ornament. It was more like a necklace, you could say, very valuable necklace. And the ministers decided to steal this necklace. I can see that some of you are getting hungry. I will finish very soon. Only 5 minutes, thank you. But this you must hear because it's important. The morning came and Kula Shikar wanted to find the necklace and put it around his feet, but the necklace was not there. He asked his minister to take the necklace. It's not the house. There is the necklace. We have no access to the deity room. You better ask the only people who have access to the deity room. It's the Vaishnava. King asked the Vaishnava, my dear son, says anyone you see the necklace? Is he nothing? How do you know about this? The ministers there informed him. Very good, very good, very good. They went to the king and said, my dear king, the Vaishnavas must have stolen the necklace, because if the Vaishnavas would not have stolen the necklace, then it would still be there. So this is where I will end my story for today. I will continue the rest of it tomorrow. you are a little tired, I can see that I was not ended on this note. I want to now come to the point, okay? The story, my dear devotees, which we will, the end of it, we will hear tomorrow. There will be a very unexpected end. You will sweat when you hear the end. This is something which I wanted to really bring home to you. Really, if you are, we are all going or becoming older in this movement for Krishna consciousness, and it's, I believe, our a very good time of the year to think about this point. How absorbed are we in Krishna consciousness? If we are not so absorbed, and we are feeling so much worries and so much desires on the platform of I and me, the body and the mind, if you feel so much the pains of material existence, worries, and if we feel so much a lack of being able to make ourselves dependent on Krishna, it means that we need to be reminded that we might have missed the whole point. We might have actually not understood what Krishna consciousness is all about. And we might not have understood Rishikesha, Rishikena, Seva, Bhakti, Uchyate, that we do, that we engage our senses, and especially the king of the senses, the mind, in Krishna's service. This material life will never give us any solution. It's not meant to give us a solution. Only spiritual life can give us a solution to our worries and anxieties. And then spiritual life means to become absorbed in Krishna at his service. This is something which we have to learn either through going through the many, many births and deaths, where this will become clear, many more births and deaths, or we learn it on good faith, hearing it from the scriptures and the sadhus and the example of the devotees, so that we can give and make a program on the plan in our life to become absorbed in Krishna. To become absorbed in Krishna doesn't necessarily mean to spend more time than the time which we have been given, the time of our, which our 16 rounds take, and the time which our reading in scriptures take. To become absorbed in Krishna might mean for us to use this time and to make a determined endeavor to really be with our practice, or to say it in a more practical way, to be attentive to our practice. For instance, the chanting, to be fully present in the chanting, to avoid laziness, indifference, and distractedness. To be absorbed in Krishna may mean to join the Sunday evening kirtans, which Madhavan Prabhu organizes, and to be really there as we chant the holy name, and to chant in a prayerful mood. To be more absorbed in Krishna may mean to make a determined endeavor to plan my next steps of surrender to Krishna. To become more absorbed in Krishna, this is what I wanted to say, is something which is of your, you have to take care of it. It's a private thing. The institution ISKCON, all the institutions of Christians, the church, or any other institution, will not check you on your absorption. They will not ask Udhava, how absorbed are you? If you are very absorbed, you get higher high post. If you are not so absorbed, you get bad publicity. You know, the institution will not check you on this. You have to check yourself on this. And your guru might check on this on you, but he will only say something if he says that you are willing to learn and go this road. Because nowadays it's sometimes devotees become very, they are a little insecure, and they become a little bit shocked when one speaks a little intense, and become more insecure. That's obviously not what is desired. So the best person really
to see if you are absorbed in Krishna is yourself. See, and if you see something needs to be done, do it. That's very important. That's really what I brought back from Jagannath Puri. My dear devotees, I cannot describe to you what it means to be one day just thinking about Jagannath. It's one is in the spiritual world. It is once no longer here. I remember finally Pankajangri Prabhu and Janan Vasa, myself, we were climbing the chariots of Lord Jagannath. We had decided that we will see Lord Jagannath from here. You know, when the chariots arrive at the Gundicha gardens, then they camp overnight before the gardens, and then in the morning it's very nice. You can go there and chant your rounds before the chariots, and there's not many people are there. It's a wonderful, wonderful scene. So we were there, Ankajangri, Jajaniva, Jananibas Prabhu. So His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj and the other Maharajas were there. They were first going on the chariots, and we thought we are very insignificant people. We just look from here. But then the Daityapati came and said, embrace Jagannath. Said very strongly, so we could not disobey. And we also went on the chariots, and yes, I felt shy to embrace the Lord. I mean, I'm on that level, so I just put my head at the lotus feet, and the Lord. At that moment, something happened which is very difficult for me to explain. I lost my mind. Not that I became but I became just so blissful. I forgot everything I had ever thought about. I was just so blissful, and I was never so blissful before. Fortunately, no one was there with a photo camera. Now we have to be very careful. I heard the next day the Radha Yatra festival was already on the internet. Hare Krishna. So I only Jananivas, he just cried uncontrollably, and others were also totally finished, and I won't tell you what it was going to be. But it was wonderful. And coming, being in this, this is such a wonderful experience. This feeling of absorption, fatigue. And that's really, I mean, if we are not absorbed in Krishna, at least in a little bit, we will be absorbed in Maya. We will have to go to whatever you know better, you know, how to distract the mind. It will come, and we will just entangle ourselves in this and that. Maya just will take us and say, okay, you become my servant now. And then we do it, and we believe firmly in it while we do it. Maya goes into our mind and tells us, this is the right thing for you, my boy, oh my girl. And so on. So it's very necessary to adopt ourselves, even in a little bit. Obviously, we can't be like Kula Shikara and then we hear Ramayana, the temple administration, Molidhar, Nayana Manjari, and all the temple managers. I don't know who you all are.
you will run, you know, with your daily planner into the three state evil plan now for you, Ram, how to conquer the demon armies. We are coming also, you know, this won't happen now. My God will throw everything down, you know, and his tools, you know, carpentry tools. Or you will say, Ram, I will make you a bow which will never fail. You know. But we will feel some, as I said, it's the area where we can, like in the chanting, what we do, you can feel some ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. So I have decided that from this day on, your life will not be the same. This is not a theoretical lecture, it is very practical. I have brought with me something which can entirely change your life. Sometimes the yogis who are in my lecture think, now Maharaj will, one day he will do it, he will just have a cobra and ask a cobra to come along. And he said, no, this is the Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath. It is very, very important. It is very, very exciting. Lord Chandra Sparko describes that once Narada Muni came to Lakshmi Devi in Vaikuntha and said, please and serve her for many, many, for a long time. Finally, Lakshmi said, Narada Muni, you have served me so good. Ask me for any blessing. Narada Muni said, any blessing. Any. I will only ask you if you promise that you actually give me the blessing. Of course. Then I want the remnants from the Lord's plate. Oh, I can't fulfill this blessing. Because just today in the morning, the Lord said, I should never give anyone the remnants from his plate. He doesn't want that love of God can be achieved so easily just by eating. Lakshmi, it's not my problem. You have promised me to get the remnants. What will happen if Lakshmi and Narayan break their promises? Who will keep their promises? You have to take care of this. So Lakshmi went to the Lord and served in his food. She served very nicely, but still, Lord, some problem in the mind of Lakshmi. Finally, he asked, why are you so distracted, my dear wife? I have given a blessing which I cannot keep. One blessing. This morning, Narada Muni asked me for the remnants, right after you had said you will never give the remnants. Oh, said Narayan, this Narada Muni is very clever. And he said, if I don't keep my promise, then who will keep promises in the future? Okay. I make one exception, said Narayan. Let us do like this. I will look in one direction. Then as I look in one direction, you come from the other direction and you take the remnants. This was done. Narada Muni got the remnants, and the moment the prasada touched his tongue, he began to dance and shout in ecstasy. He threw his veena in the air, captured it,
played very vigorously, and he ran all over the universe, dancing, and finally arrived in Kailash. Then Shiva was meditating. Shiva was woken up and said, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you child." He heard Narada Muni. I know that you are in ecstasy because you chant the names of the Lord, but I have never, ever seen you like this." Said, "I have eaten the prasad. The maha prasad from the Lord's mouth. Haribo!" I also get that trying to be a devotee. Since all this time I have only one desire, to eat the presence of the Lord. Now, I know it's very rare. Certainly you have brought some to me." I'm sorry, I was so in ecstasy. I just ate everything. "Oh," said Shiva, and he became unlimitedly sad. He folded his hands and said, "I'm very sorry, I'm so much in ecstasy. Please don't become sad. What will happen if you are so sad?" As he was saying like this, he looked at his finger, and there, at his finger, was a little piece of rice which was still sticking to the top of that finger. Shivaji, "Don't cry, you will get your prasad." The moment Shiva heard, "I will get my prasad," he was extremely satisfied. I have it here on the feet. I think it might fall or something. "How should I give this to you?" Said Shiva, "Just put your finger in my mouth, please." And the moment that maha rice corn touched the tongue of the Mahadev, he became so ecstatic. He could not control his senses any longer. He started to embrace, he started to roll on the ground. He was totally unconventional until Parvati came and she saw her husband who just, you know, the last time she saw him, he was sitting there meditating on Bhagavan Kailash. And now he was rolling on the floor. "What has happened? I've never seen you like this," said Parvati. "And this great..." No, Shiva was, I forgot to tell you, no, Shiva was not rolling on the ground. He rolled on the ground in the beginning, but then it became really wild. Then he started to dance, and he danced so wildly that he went into the Tandava Maritya. Do you know this dance? It's a dance where he destroys the whole universe. You've never seen such a dance. The whole universe becomes finished. So, he was informed. And she rushed to pacify Shiva. And she actually was able to pacify Shiva somewhat, and then asked, "What, my Lord, is happening to you?" And then Shiva explained, "I have eaten the remnants." Parvati
he said, my dear Lord, I'm also a devotee. And because of any time. Where is my son? You must certainly have seen some for your other dharma, new dharma. There was only this grain of rice. It was not even a full grain of rice. It was only a part of a grain of rice. And the only way to get it in my mouth was a full absorption. But she became first very sad. Then she became very angry. And she became so angry that the universe started to get hot. All the rishis were so very hot. They looked and they couldn't understand the problem. Parvati was actually getting angrier and angrier and angrier. That meant she could destroy the whole universe. They went to her, they asked her, what's the reason why she's so angry? I've never seen that. She didn't get the prashad. I forgot the prashad, said Shiva. The special prashad. The prashad from Lord Narayana. And I heard from Narayana Muni, he only gave, it was a special occasion, only one time, that the prashad of the Lord personally was given to Lakshmi and then to Narayana. And I got that. So the saints went to Lord Narayana and said, I think you have to give Parvati your remnants, because she's at the point of burning the universe out of frustration and anger. Narayana heard everything. He went to Parvati and said, Parvati, stop! Parvati, I'm so angry. How can you burn your children? I don't care. I need your remnants. So Narayana said, oh, okay. He ate the remnants were given to Parvati, but she did not accept them. It seems, said Parvati, you care for your children. So I don't want to have only remnants for me. I want that remnants are given to all of your children. The Lord already knew that he could not avoid the merciful planning of his devotees. He knew it was his only love whereby which he would make a merciful plan. He knew it was time for him to appear in Purushottama Chakra, where he would eat the whole day prasadam and leave remnants for the fallen souls of this universe. So he kindly appeared as Lord Jagannath in Purushottama Chakra, or Jagannath Puri, and his fingers are never becoming dry. He eats all this Jagannath Puri to leave his friends. It is said the Lord takes his bath in Badrinath, he dresses in Dwaraka, and he eats in Puri, and then he sleeps in Rameshwaram, the Ananda Shinsha. So this is what I have brought with you. I have brought with you the extra special Mahaprasad. It was offered in Gundicha Mandir. That's when the Lord is there as Vrindavan Krishna, enjoying the Vrindavan Krishna Lila. So you can have this. It is very rare to get this prasadam, only by some special connection. I cannot tell more in this connection, by some special connection, because it is prasadam. So you could please enter class now. I will not ask for questions because it is late and we expect many guests today. Thank you all for coming for this program. I do hope that you have kept the main point, assumption, in your mind. If you only take one word from this lecture, which you do not wish to forget, please take this petit book, the percent book, with you. And this Mahaprasad will help you. On this day only, you will not be the same. Maybe, you know, I think we can distribute it now.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonikai ki jai, Sri Jagannath Balade Subhadra Devi ki jai, Gol Prema Mandir.
Holiness Satchinanda Maharaj ki jai.